Let's turn in our Bibles now for our reading in 1 Corinthians 13. If you are joining with us or visiting here as our congregation, we have been working our way through the first verses here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, known as the Great Love chapter. A few weeks ago, we looked at the necessity of this love, that without love, we can do nothing. We are nothing. It doesn't really matter what gifts you have or how you serve or how important you think you are. If you don't have love, you're simply a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. You are nothing and you have nothing. You gain nothing. And then 2 weeks ago, we looked at the first aspect of this love, and that's patience. Now, this week, we look at the second characteristic of true Christian godly love, and that's kindness. So let's read the first seven verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. That's as far as reading this morning. May God add his increase to the proclamation of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, kindness is a trait that is greatly needed. It's lacking in our world. As our society develops into more and more of an isolationist mentality, where we view other people with suspicion, viewing them as threats or enemies, we will find that human nature is more and more prone to ignore those who are in need. As the parable of the Good Samaritan proved, the first two men ignored the needs of others because they didn't want to get their hands dirty. But love, as we are finding in 1 Corinthians 13, true Christian godly love, this agape love, this giving of yourself sacrificial thinking of the other kind of love, is a kind of love that has a kindness as part of its very nature. As I said a few minutes ago, we looked at the need for love, the necessity of this love. It's really the mark of God's people that we have love in our service, love in how we minister to one another. Without this love, we can and will not be fit instruments in the Lord's hand. Well, today we focus on the kindness. And in fact, as I was doing some research this past week, one of the early church fathers reported that the Christians in the early church in the Roman world were so well known for their kindness that unbelievers were even saying, look at how kind the Christians are. They are kinder to us, to our kind, than we are to our very own. Tertullian even says that sometimes the Christians were referred to as the kind ones, the kind people. That's what they were referred to in the early church. So kindness, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a mark of the Spirit's work within us. As our church visits, our family visits continue, it's that fruit of that is overflowing within us, the fruit of the Spirit. Kindness is really the sugar that makes a person's characteristic sweet, attractive. It makes us winsome in our speech and in our actions. Even the world, a worldly proverb is, kindness is always in style. But we are called to a specific kind of kindness, loving kindness, Christian godly kindness. As parents, with Ed and Kathy here, kindness in the home, kindness as parents, kindness between husband and wife, kindness in the church, kindness in how we relate to each other, how we serve and minister to one another as we are members of the one body, kindness in the world, and all the different spheres or area of life. Kindness is to be the characteristic. Kindness describes what our love is like. We start then by keeping our Bibles open here to 1 Corinthians 13 at verse 4. Love is kind. Most of the time when we translate the word kind, we translate it as a thing, something, a characteristic that describes us. But here, the word Christutai is an active verb. It's the only time in the New Testament that we find this word. It is not something that that describes what we do. It is something we do. It's an active verb. Love is to be kind. It's the act of kindness. This describes a person. Now, kindness is a warm, generous, helpful, useful attribute because it makes us serve in such a way that we are considerate and compassionate, to be mild and benevolent. We can use the word charity to describe this kind of love. Paul is defining here in this letter to the Corinthian church, he's defining what love is like and what it does. It tells us to love with a loving kindness kind of service, to be generous with your time and with your gifts. As the deacons of our church are called to be stewards of the talents that we have within this church, they oversee the benevolence of our congregation. The benevolent arm is really this aspect of warm, kind, generous, serving others with their goodness in mind. Kind love lends both the hand and the dollar. In our text here in verse 4, we see that kindness is linked to patience. Kindness and patience come together as the fountainhead from which all true Christian service flows forth. These parallel truths that love is a patient love and a kind love will directly battle the negative characteristics that here follow. Love is patient and kind. Love does not do, as verse 4 continues, it's not envy, it's not boastful, it's not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong. So when we have a kind, patient love, these other aspects of the human nature must decrease as kind, patient love comes to the fore. In other words, loving kindness replaces bitterness, envy, anger, wrath, and rage. The opposite of doing selfish, human, natural service is Christian, kind, sympathetic, and caring service. Now, as I said before, this kind of caring love, kind love, is to be evident in all aspects of our lives. Starting in the home, starting in the most intimate settings, we are called to be kind in our love. Now, when I was thinking of preaching this sermon in the context of baptism, last or 2 weeks ago, we looked at patience, right? And as every parent in this congregation will testify, to be a parent, you must have patient love. Right? Love is patient. Raising children takes long suffering. You have to have a long-term view in your sight. Love is not easily angered, isn't easily stirred to wrath because you are patient in your love. But now, kindness. How are Ed and Kathy and every household here? How do we show kindness in our love? Not only patience, but kindness. What does a kind husband or a kind wife or a kind parent, what does that look like? Well, kind love is a is a love that is caring for the concerns of others. And I think it's most helpful to look at a kind of parenting that is lacking kindness, to show a contrast. In Ephesians chapter 6, parents, particularly fathers, are said, do not provoke your children. Don't stir your children to wrath, because discipline without kindness provokes to anger. Yes, discipline is necessary, but kindness is that sweet sugar coating that makes discipline more able to swallow. Without kindness, discipline becomes a bitter pill and provokes wrath. Kindness, as a parent, kindness is where you have sympathy for the child who has the scraped knee, and you calm the anxiety. You wipe away the tears. Kindness is considerate of a child's ability and maturity. Kindness is something that flows from us as husbands and wives when we are sympathetic. It's kindness that moves a husband to empty the dishwasher. Kindness is what moves the wife to enter this little love note in her husband's lunch pail. It's the small little things on the day-to-day basis that says there is a warm, caring, compassionate love, where we're not too busy to be unconcerned or uncaring. It's not unnecessarily harsh or too busy. Kindness and gentleness, patience married to sympathy. As those who have green thumbs in our midst know, when you are planting a small plant, harsh hands kill tender plants, but kind, gentle hands are what are needed, are necessary. As we live within our households, kindness means that we seek to be useful and compassionate, to help each other within the home. As you seek to raise children, Ed and Kathy, and for everyone here, as you seek to live as husbands and wives, it's the little acts of Christian service at unexpected times. Serving, doing, loving things, not because of necessity, not because you are it's demanded of you, but because the kind love, loving kindness flows forth from your heart. But not only in the context of the home, but remember, Paul is here writing particularly in the context of the church. What the Corinthian church needed was kind love. Paul was writing to a church that was not being kind in their service of one another. Instead, within the Corinthian church, they were seeking to be first. They were pushing for the best. They were grabbing at the wine or the bread. They were speaking over others instead of using their gifts for the good of others. They were boasting in their own abilities and belittling others. Loving to hear the sound of their own voice, they refused to listen to others. But that's not kindness. No, kindness in the church means that you are willing to take a hit for the sake of someone else. To take a back seat so that someone else can lead, so that someone else can go first. Kindness is a gentleness which makes our service more receptive. Instead of using words to tear down and belittle, kindness uses words to build up, to minister, to heal. Kindness seeks the other's good, putting their needs before your own. Kindness is an undeserved charity that seeks to minister with generosity and consideration. One of the attributes of the elders within the church is to lead, to disciple, to discipline with gentleness. That elders must not lead in a violent or quarrelsome manner, but to serve with gentleness. Remember, I connected it to discipline within the home. It's the same thing with elders within the church. Yes, they must disciple and discipline, rebuke those who are straying, absolutely. But the way you do that with a kind heart, where you are putting yourself beside them, with them, empathy, putting yourself in their shoes. I'm there for you, brother. I'm beside you, sister. This is a sin. We must forsake this sin. But I'm not lording over you, whacking you on the head. I'm there beside you. I love you and I have a caring concern for you. So it is within the church that we seek to be a blessing to one another, doing good for the benefit of others. Just for a moment, think about our congregation. Can you pick out someone in our church who you would say typifies loving kindness? A kind, compassionate member of our church. What makes that person kind? What is it about that person that you can say that's what loving kindness looks like? Is it their sympathy? Is it their warm smile, their encouraging word? That's what loving kindness is. Loving kindness is Ruth to Mara, her bitter mother-in-law. Loving kindness is David to Mephibosheth, Jonathan's lame son. As Ephesians 4 verse 32 says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted. Kindness is the salt that seasons our words with making them palpable, loving actions to make us and our witness attractive to others. Well, after revealing that love is kind, or love is the action of kindness, Paul continues by saying what kindness is not. So we're just going to focus on two particular aspects which contrast loving kindness. Love is first and foremost not rude. Now, children, you know what rude is, don't you? You've seen rudeness at school. You know what being rude is like, right? Being rude is to be harsh, to be evil, to be unbecoming, unchristian. A rude person is one who pushes to the front and shoves others to the side. Rudeness is the temper that even though you have a pig with a gold ring in its snout, Proverbs 11 says, external beauty means nothing without the inner characteristic of kind love. That's Proverbs 11:22. So being rude, throwing tempers, fits of rage, destroy Christian kindness. Pushing and shoving for the best seat, like a bunch of children playing musical chairs. That's rudeness. But sometimes we can be rude in our way that we live with one another, where we are unconsiderate and uncaring. Children, do you know that it is rude to leave your clothes on the ground when your mom and dad have asked you to pick them up? It's not only disobedient, it's rude because it's making your parents do more work when they have called you to be considerate. It's rude when you are putting yourself first in your own wants and desires before everyone else. There's an Old Testament example for that, and it's given by way of sheep. What rude sheep do is they go into the water and they stir up the water to make it all muddy, so that all the sheep that come after them have to drink polluted water. That's rudeness. It's unconsiderate. You're not thinking of those who are in your household. The opposite of kindness is to be mean-spirited and harsh. So when parents are teaching their children to be unselfish, generous, and kind, you are reflecting to your children the necessity for kindness and their Christian love. And What the Corinthian church found out was with their useless arguments, harsh tones, evil intents, and wicked looks, they were ministering, serving within the church in an uncharitable way. So love is not rude. Love is also, as verse 5 said, not self-seeking. Self-seeking puts its own desires, cravings, its own wants first. Love does not seek the self. You know, if you've done a word study on agape love, you'll see that true agape love is, by its definition, seeking the good of others. So Christian love is not self-seeking. The church is not about my wants, my needs, my felt desires. That's not what the church is about. How I serve is not to get something back for myself, but for the good of those within my family. Love does not insist on its own way. As Paul said, this is back in chapter 10, verse 33, Paul in his service said, I seek to please everyone, to be a benefit to everyone, so that many can be saved. Or Philippians 2, verse 4, it's a humble heart that considers us others more important than yourself. So what the New Testament church here in Corinth was doing is, when someone was up at the front either speaking in tongues or giving a prophetic word, their time ran out and they just kept right on going. They loved to hear the sound of their own voice, boasting in their own importance, that their own gifts were more important than everyone else. But kindness is not self-seeking. Trying to encourage the growth of kindness in our own hearts, it's really a battle against the self. It's a battle between the old man and who we are, the new man in Christ. The old man refuses to let others go first. The old man refuses to think of others before themselves. The old man always has to have the last word, win every argument, promoting the self. That typifies our world. 2 Timothy 3 verse 2 says, in the last days, people will be lovers of self. But that's not Christian love. Because true Christian love is patient and kind, compassionate and caring. But how in the world can we show that in our present society? If you struggle with being kind and patient, as all of us here do, how can we go forth this day and rededicate ourselves to being kind in the home and in the church and at work? Well, as we found out with patience, so it is with kindness. The way to get it is to first receive it. And the way to grow in it is to meditate upon it. The way to grow in kindness is to ponder the kindness that you have received. God's kindness. It's God in His kindness that causes the rain and the sunshine to fall on both the just and the unjust. We looked at that last week when we looked at the connection between patience and kindness. That's from Romans. It talks about the reason God has not destroyed the world is because He is patient and kind, long-suffering, giving the world time to repent. That's the kindness of love, that He withholds justice, wrath, and vengeance for a time so that the world can progress and that the church can flourish and grow and develop. Psalms 63 verse 6 says, the loving kindness of God is better than life. It's the kindness of our God that moved us, that moved Him to show us salvation. God is so incredibly kind. His loving kindness knows no end. Listen to these words from Titus 3 verse 4. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. That's Titus 3 verse 4. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. The kindness of God became incarnate. Jesus Christ is God's kindness incarnate. And when the kindness of God appeared by way of Jesus Christ, He saved us. God's kindness is revealed in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now we receive saving love and mercy. This loving kindness is gracious and merciful. Gracious meaning that it's undeserved, and merciful meaning that it, instead of receiving judgment and justice and wrath, mercy gives us something else. Wonderful gifts. It's Jesus who in his kindness would not snuff a smoldering wick or break a bruised reed. It's the kindness of the shepherd that seeks the lost lamb. The kindness of the shepherd that picks up that injured lamb, holding it close to his breast, bringing it into the sheepfold, binding its wounds. You see, congregation of Christ, when we experience the kindness of God by way of the ministry of Jesus Christ, we can't stay the same. We won't stay the same. So in order to grow in kindness, we need to ponder the kindness that we have received. If you struggle with being kind and compassionate, think upon God's kindness and compassion shown to you. Our kindness to others begins when His kindness takes root in our own hearts. Behold what manner of love we have received, the loving kindness of our God. Ephesians 2 verse 7. The riches of God's grace are expressed to us in the kindness to us in Jesus Christ. To conclude, we have only looked at the second characteristic of love. Love is both patient and it is kind. Love is active. Love is a verb. It's something we do. Love is what makes us an attractive, winsome, compassionate, caring in our love. Jesus Christ gives us His Spirit, fills us with His kindness, and then sends us into the world and says, "Reflect my kind love to those in your lives." So may we all, as a church, be patient and kind, showing true Christian love to those whom God has called us to serve. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this characteristic of love that you have shown to us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for your loving kindness, that it is better than life. Fill us with your Spirit, O Lord, to show this kind of loving kindness to others, that we would be patient, considerate, benevolent, that we would consider the needs of others before our own, considering their good and how we might minister best to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.